And Flint, Michigan has a new resident. Rodney Lantine is the recently appointed CEO of the FIM, the Flint Institute of Music, which means under that FIM umbrella, Mr. Lantine also runs the Flint Symphony, the Flint School of the Performing Arts, as well as the Flint Youth Theater and Ballet. And Kern State's Jamie Paisley recently spoke with Mr. Lantine during the oh-so-busy first week heading up the FIM.
Well, first of all, thanks very much for speaking with us. And again, welcome to Michigan.
Well, thanks, Jamie. I appreciate it. And I really thank the radio station for coming down to the FIM.
Let's talk about where you're coming from, because that's out in Colorado, where you are a native, I believe, of Colorado. And you work as executive director and COO of the Museum of the Outdoor Arts, which dealt with architecture, fine arts, and dealt heavily also with kind of performing arts as well and music. Is that fair to say? This is an extension?
Yeah, that's fair to say. The Museum of Outdoor Arts was actually at three different levels. We had the performing arts. We had three theaters, the largest one being 18,000 capacity, which we did symphony summer series. We did some ballet, but traditionally it was at least 20, 25, 30 concerts of rock and roll, anywhere from Bruno Mars to country western, you know, Toby Keith, most of the major stars. We worked with Live Nation and AEG, which are two of the largest concert promoters in the world. And we also had an art gallery, a traditional art gallery, where we had revolving gallery exhibitions. We had student engagement through education programs. And then we had an outdoor art collection. We had a multi-million dollar art collection that we spread throughout the communities, sometimes places that you wouldn't even expect to see art. It was making art a part of everyday life.
Now, I know the 18,000 seat is the Fiddler's Green amphitheater, and you said Live Nation handled a lot of that. Would you also be involved with kind of pushing any sort of fine arts or cultural music events to that space?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a something called the Scientific and Cultural Facilities District, which was a group of nonprofits in Colorado, and we utilized the amphitheater for both local events, but also we opened up the amphitheater to all nonprofits. So we would do free events, we would do ballets, we would do local musicians, really as an outreach. So the nonprofits had the opportunity to present their performances in a large a capacity, in a large arena, and sometimes we would do that prior to shows. So we would have a sellout show of 18,000 people, and so a local group could be able to do kind of like they could say, hey, I opened for James Taylor or something like that. But we utilized a lot. Plus, we had art exhibitions. We created an art park as an entry to the amphitheater, and we immersed it with incredible art as an outdoor gallery experience.
In addition to the Museum of Outdoor Arts, I know that you personally were involved with a listening lounge that you set up in Bowers and outside of Denver. A lot of that, I think, is also the approach, and what I've learned about that listening lounge is getting music outside of the kind of traditional setting, getting it more into what people experience every single day. Does that feed into your philosophy on how fine arts are approached?
Yes, the arts, all the arts, performing arts, the visual arts, writers, actors, I see the arts as positive change agents. I mean, they really are. The arts have always uplifted areas. I mean, you go into any city, Soho in New York started that way. I mean, it's a horrible part of the island. And the arts move in, and within, you know, several years, it becomes the hottest place. And that happens everywhere. It happens throughout the United States. So the cultural center here in FIM, we, you know, obviously want it to be that place. We want it to be the uplifting area, the support of the revitalization and the growth of, you know, Flint and the whole Genesee County.
As you're speaking about, you know, uplifting Flint, I'm thinking about Mayor Karen Weaver and her recent State of the City address. And we, you know, we had Mayor Weaver on Current State, and she was asked by Mark Bayshore how the people of Flint currently are amidst the news of the past few years. And she said, hopeful but frustrated because of all of that. And as you talk about the Flint Cultural Center, that seems to be one of the things to be hopeful about. So have you been in touch with Mayor Weaver or any other civic leaders of Flint about how the FIM, the Flint Institute of Music, can play a role moving forward?
As far as the mayor or the city council or the wards, we've reached out to them. It's my fourth day. But yes, and then of course all the cultural center. Absolutely, I want to have a dialogue, an open dialogue, because we want to do our part. I mean, the arts, and actually the whole county, the citizenry, what struck me the most when I first came to Flint was the support of, not only the support of the arts, but the depth and the breadth of the facilities. I mean, these are world-class facilities, all in one central area. City planners now are scrambling to trying to create the synergism that was already here. The foresight of the founding fathers to have this cultural center that has not only the Whiting, you have the planetarium, you have the theater groups. It's phenomenal, and the facilities are better than cities four times the size. So we're very fortunate as citizens in this area to have these facilities, and now we need to really just make sure that they are utilized to their best and fullest to help, again, be part of the revitalization of the whole area.
We're speaking with a new CEO of the Flint Institute of Music, Rodney Lantine, who's just started. August 1st was your first day. You're coming into the Flint Institute of Music at a very kind of celebratory period. It's the 35th anniversary of the Flint Youth Ballet, the 60th of the Flint Youth Theater, and the landmark 100th of the Flint Symphony Orchestra. That's a lot of landmarks that you're hitting right off the bat.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, we're excited about the 100th anniversary of the symphony. I mean, that's a real huge milestone. We plan on doing a great celebration for that. But all the youth, the theater groups. But my philosophy is that we've had years and years, 100 years, obviously, of success with the symphony and all the other programs, is really to honor the history of where we've been, but with our eyes forward towards, how are we going to make these programs bigger, better, and greater. I mean, building on that success. So for each of the programming, be it the music school or the youth theater programs, the symphony, or outreach, that's going to be a big part of as we move forward, is really taking our programs and trying to, not only can you come here and enjoy it, but also take it out, specifically in areas that may or may not have either the opportunity or the wherewithal to take advantage of these types of things. So that's going to be a big push as well.
There's a big challenge, I think, also with dealing with the arts is, and I'm saying this also as a classical music host, which is the main part of what I do at WKAR, there's the history of being very kind of admittedly European-centric. And in a community as diverse as Flint, that produces a very interesting challenge. How do you branch out into the community when it may not be quite as representative in its long-term history?
Well, twofold. One, there's a classical music, which you brought up, is wonderful. I mean, unless you're exposed to it, or if you may not know that you love it until you love it. It's like good food. I mean, you put a good food in from somebody, they may not know what it is, or they just know they like it. And that's kind of like getting back to what we talked about, the Music Appreciation Society. It was really trying to let people know that this is great. But you also, it's like fine wine. There's a big difference between a $10 bottle of wine and a $150 bottle of wine, but it's the nuances and it's understanding. So we have to not only educate and expose people to classical music, and there's several ways you can do that. We have our ongoing programming that is wonderful. We have an incredible maestro and conductor, Enrique. We're very fortunate. But there's also other things that the orchestra can do. And we're looking, and we're going to go down that direction. I mean, it's really reaching out to other groups. I recently did something in Colorado with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, where we actually put on a program where the symphony played the music of 50 Cent. And it was wonderful. I mean, you had the violins, dun, 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 dun. I mean, the orchestra loved it. The audience liked it. And I'm not saying that's something we're going to do here, but we're going to look at drawing people that may not otherwise come to the symphony, either through programming and or through education. The same with the theater and same with the education. And it's more of, again, with parents when they're looking at what do they do with their children. I mean, a lot of people go into sports, and there's some great benefits to sports. I was in sports and everything, but the same types of benefits, or even more so, can be done through music and through theater. I mean, the same teamwork, critical thinking, confidence building, responsibility. So it's another way of just showing parents there's another alternative that they may not have already just automatically said, that makes sense.
Rodney Lantine, the new CEO of the Flint Institute of Music, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate your time, and I look forward.